You are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeter. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeter.
It is Monday, April 24th, 2017. My name is Sam Steeter. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live. Steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal, the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, it's Le Pen versus Macron. Runoff to happen soon. Trump voters will never quit him, ladies and gentlemen. And a new report on James Comey's state of mind, which I have to say, many of you have rightly pointed out. I had at least speculated upon months ago. Does Donald Trump mean it's too late for our climate? 100 days in, and Trump has managed only to make the poor suffer more. Meanwhile, new polling shows Dems need to work a little harder on locking up those leaning Dem. And in New Orleans today and yesterday, tearing down Confederate monuments. And new Fox revelations. Next up, possibly huge racism payouts.
So surprising.
Surprise.
Yes. And lastly, turns out Donald Trump still completely insane. That is, of course, according to his interview with the AP. All that and more on today's program, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, folks, just another week here with classic Trump era. Donald Trump apparently doing an interview with the AP. I mean, I go back and forth on this stuff. Like, what are we really telling people? That Donald Trump is still insane? And that is really all that we're telling people. Donald Trump is still insane. I do think that's important to reiterate that Donald Trump is still insane, because there will be a tendency, and we've seen it a couple of times now, to normalize him, to say that he's presidential, to say, you got to give him credit for what he's doing in Syria. And all we need now is just a really strong strategy to follow up on that. The guy's a lunatic. He knows nothing. And to the extent that he knows anything, and we've seen this now on multiple occasions. I mean, I'm glad that he is not abandoning NATO. But it also makes you wonder, just like, 10 minutes in a room with a couple of generals, and they could get him to do just about anything, as far as it seems. And that's a little bit concerning. But we will get to that as the program continues. I will say, though, there are a bunch of stories, I think, where Donald Trump has been effective. And this is, I think for the Trump administration, low-hanging fruit. They are making life significantly more miserable for people living in poverty. And we will get to those instances. But I should tell you, and I don't, do I even have the numbers here? Does it matter? There was a runoff, and there was an election in France yesterday. How weird is that? That they
a
would
runoff
run.
System?
No, no. That they would actually hold an election on a weekend where people could vote.
Yeah.
So French, isn't it? Rather than... right. Rather than...
You should not be a burden for your
isn't their weekend like 4 days over there?
Right. Rather than put a roadblock to people living in... you know, the working poor or people who have no time off and have to deal with childcare. I mean, it just seems ridiculous. But
Bernie, bro.
Here they go. based upon the results yesterday, there will be a runoff on May 7th between Macron, who, I guess in the context of France's political spectrum would be considered to be center...
Slightly... he's the classic... Center-right on economics, center-left on social.
Right. And Marine Le Pen, who is to the right... neo-fascist. Super Trump... Really, in many respects.
The only distinction being is genuinely to the left on economic issues.
Right. And so Macron is widely expected to win in this runoff. Why are they so certain? It seems to me that the polling seems to be more accurate there. This Macron-Le Pen thing was pretty much anticipated. And... it seems like French society is rallying around the idea that, was it Hollande that said that Macron may be an opponent, but a political opponent, but that Le Pen was actually an enemy of the Republic?
I believe that was Hamon. Maybe Hamon was sending that out.
And so...
I think if Hollande would like this to turn out well, he should keep his mouth shut. His approval rating's at 4%.
Yeah, that's... So he's not quite in Donald Trump territory, but for all...
how do I get up there? 4%? What?
So just to give you a sense of what Macron wants to do in France, he wants to cut public spending by up to 50% of GDP. Involving 120,000 government job cuts and modify the 35-hour work week, but not scrap it. Apparently, his proposal is not clear. That is, I can tell you, mistake. Stay with the 35-hour work week. On education, this is interesting. He wants to hire 5,000 teachers and cut class size to 12 students in primary schools that are in low-income zones. He proposes cutting corporate taxes from 33% to 25%. Proposes shifting taxes on personal assets over 1.3 million euros to focusing on real estate instead of productive investment. So there you have it. I guess we'll see in May. But seems to be upsetting Donald Trump and then some in the Pepe caucus.
Well, I mean, Trump did... endorse Marie Le Pen. And I think that's the first time. I mean, obviously, many American presidents have helped install fascists into power, but I think this is the first time anyone has actually publicly endorsed one.
I just didn't feel like getting too involved, but I wanted to just put down a marker.
I mean, look, I'll send out a tweet for you, Marie. I can't campaign for you. Imagine she'd be like, no, that's okay. Even French fascists are like, eh, it's all right.
Yeah.
No need to campaign for it.
You wonder if Trump's victory in some way hurts Le Pen. If it, particularly in this type of runoff situation.
I mean, it does. I think, though, that the dynamic is that she's already, I mean, her dad got into a runoff, who founded the party in the 70s, got into a runoff, I think, in 2002, where he beat the socialist, and it was him against the Jacques Chirac, who was conservative. And everybody came together and said, this guy needs to be defeated. And he was. He was a total blowout. But she's rebranded the party and made it more palatable for certain people. I saw a clip a week ago of like the, it was this classic, like comical French vox pop. Like this guy's just like, I could never vote for the father, but she has a certain elegance. So she was okay. You know, so now it's okay to vote for elegant neo-fascism. And I just think, I mean, Macron is young and independent, but Hollande moved so far to the right economically and didn't fight against austerity. So I don't really think, like, the same formula that made Hollande unpopular will probably make Macron unpopular, and you'll only see it continuing strength for Le Pen's party. So not this time, maybe next time if they keep pushing this stuff.
Right. Hope springs eternal.
Hope springs eternal.
If I haven't blown up the world by then.
Well, that's the other possibility. People keep talking about these five-year electoral plans, and I say, guys, the Earth might not be inhabitable in 5 years. I'm doing work. I don't want to face the void by myself. I might be dead in 5 years. Why should everybody else be alive? That's
I'm
not
working
fair.
On getting rid of the idea of seasons anyways. It's just going to be summer.
It's going to be summer all the time.
We don't have to worry about spring.
They say acids in the ocean. By the way, I don't like sushi.
Hey, if you've been settling for store-bought underwear, 5-packs, I have something that's going to change your life for the better. MeUndies. What is MeUndies? Just seriously soft, feel-good underwear that gets delivered right to your door. Designed in L.A. and made from sustainably sourced micro... Let's hear it.
Modal.
There you go. This is Matt's claim to fame. One of them. A fabric that's 3 times softer than cotton. Matt could have been on this even before MeUndies, it's possible. Modal. It's softer than soft. Comes in an ever-changing selection of classic colors, bold shades, adventurous patterns, so you can tell your own personal style. And guess what? You can save up to 33% each month with a monthly subscription. Simply select your style, size, and plan, and MeUndies will send you undies they think you'll swoon for each month. But if you're not ready for a subscription, that's okay. You can still save. MeUndies is offering you 20% off your first pair. Just go to MeUndies.com/majority and get 20% off your first pair. What kind of underwear are you wearing?
Well, the kind that Matt liked from the Majority Report was on.
The Adventures.
I might enunciate that a little bit differently. Just a thought.
Go ahead. Revamp your underwear drawer. You deserve it. Once again, MeUndies.com/majority for 20% off. That's MeUndies.com/majority. Now, one thing that I got to say, as I've gotten older, when you have kids, you start to, it's the first time I ever contemplated life insurance. And here's the little dirty secret. You got to get it early because as you get older, it gets more expensive. Me, I am a term life insurance guy. Yeah, you are. I am not, I'm not offering financial advice. I was telling you that from what I've read, term life insurance. Now, do you have it? If you don't, why not? Well, it's expensive. It's a hassle. If you don't have life insurance, what would happen financially if something happened to the primary earner in your family? Life insurance is a good idea to protect the ones around you, but where do you go for the best prices on best policy and service? So I have a term life insurance. I actually have two policies now that I got, one after Mila and one after Saul. So I felt like I should up it because if I kick, Nikki kicks, college, housing, all of that. So I get term until they're basically should be making some cash on their own. Policygenius.com. Kelly's laughing. Well, maybe whole life I should have got. The best online life insurance marketplace. Most accurate quotes of the top A-rated life insurance companies. Policy Genius has over $5 billion of life insurance for people like you. Has a very simple, friendly user interface. You can compare all the top-rated life insurance companies. They give you the best options. And they have a licensed customer service team to help you find the best policy at the best price. You can check out other insurance offerings while you're there. I went through this process. Like I say, I already had term life insurance, but I went through it and I got a little bit annoyed because even now, when I'm older, when it gets more expensive than when I first bought it, I could still have done better. And now, honestly, like, with all due respect, if you're listening, I don't think you are, I really resent my life insurance agent because I realize I'm paying him and I don't need to be.
That is incredibly shocking news. That you resent someone.
Well, no, but I mean, like, it cuts out the middleman. I mean, you're not paying like double the commission.
I don't want middlemen anymore.
Go to policygenius.com, save over 40% off of other prices for life insurance. When life insurers compete for your business, you save money. That's Policy Genius, PolicyGenius.com. Zero jargon, zero sales pressure, zero hassle. It's getting me angry now. Life insurance made easy. Free quotes, zero hassle. Don't wait. Go to policygenius.com now.
I've heard you mention your term life insurance many a time, actually. You seem to take pride in it and gives you a feeling of security for your kids.
Yes, it does. Are you reading that off of somewhere? Or
no,
what?
I'm just thinking that I don't even know what it means. Like the
most you know, Sab... I've noticed that you take a degree in pride in taking care of your family.
It's just
and a major part.
Not everybody goes around talking about their term life insurance in normal conversation. Sam does, and I'm not sure what it means since I have a dog, and if I die, hopefully someone just come get the dog.
Not everyone says commissary every 5 seconds. That's either. True. Sam is a unique beast.
When I hold court at the commissary, it's mostly about term life insurance.
Everyone get your provisions.
All right, let's go into, we're going to do, let's just do a little bit. There's no sound from this, the Trump interview. So we will have to actually act out a couple of the choice moments. I think the first one we should probably do would be the you want to do the Electoral College one, or which one do you want to start with?
Do you see where it starts? Do you mean the White House team, or when you say that? That's the question.
No, I guess I don't know which. All right, let's do the. This is the. This is the. What is this? This is the president's Trump interview scene. Okay, this is the interview with the AP. I will play the role of the AP. Michael will play the role of the president. We will start with how Donald Trump, you know, people don't realize the odds he overcame to win the Electoral College completely stacked against him. AP, do you mean your White House team when you say that you have different teams?
Yeah, I mean, my White House team, I think Reince has been doing an excellent job. I think, you know, this is a very tough environment, not caused necessarily by me, although the election has, you know, look, the Democrats have a tremendous opportunity because the Electoral College, as I said, is so skewed to them. You start off by losing in New York and California, no matter who it is. If Abe Lincoln came back to life, he would lose New York, and he'd lose California. It's just the registration. There's nothing you could do. You're losing the biggest states where you start, okay? The Electoral College is so skewed in favor of the Democrats that it's very hard. I mean, look, Obama's number in the Electoral College, his number in the win were, but the Electoral College numbers are massive. You lose New York, you lose Illinois. Illinois is impossible to win. And look at, so now you lose New York, Illinois, no matter what you do in California, right? And you say, man, now I have to win Florida, I have to win Ohio, and I have to win in North Carolina. You have to win all these states. And then I won Wisconsin and Michigan, all these other places. But you remember, there's no way there. There's no way to 270.
Right.
I think he stole that from Nate Silver.
So I would go to the next page.
Let me just add something. The president just made this argument. He is the second Republican president in a row to have won via the Electoral College, but losing the popular vote.
Yeah, but
I just want to reiterate. There have been two Republican presidents elected in the past 20 years.
Me and George.
25 years.
Threaded that needle.
And they both came to office by winning the Electoral College and losing the popular vote.
Yeah, but what I like is that this to me is a it actually explains the voter fraud obsession too a little bit. Because you remember there was an old New Yorker cartoon where it showed like the brain of a New York resident and it was like how they mapped the geography of the world and it was
that map used to be all over the place.
Right.
Like everything west
of
the
everything that
Hudson,
isn't New York is essentially like that other place.
Right.
And I think that that's basically like it's so hurtful to him that he lost New York and California. I mean, that's really the bottom line.
Nobody could win. It's not possible to win.
We should go to the next page in terms of when he talks, one of his biggest challenges as president.
To me, that's not getting elected. It's being installed. That's how I think of it.
Oh, well, you're just saying that semantics. I mean, just because the Supreme Court...
A lot of great people have been installed. What's wrong with being installed? There's a lot of great guys.
A lot of things
my friends
are installed.
Matter of fact, in Pakistan,
dishwashers
installed. Dictators, military junta heads.
You don't like dishwashers? Okay, so let's move on.
He's talking about, is one of your biggest challenges as president? This is about building
relationships. Okay, right, okay. Is one of your biggest, what am I talking about here?
This is the context of getting Democratic support.
Oh, right, okay. Okay, and he's talking about the three Democratic votes that Gorsuch got.
Yes.
And do you think you can break through that? I mean, this...
Yeah, I do.
Is the one of the biggest challenges for a president?
I think there can be to an extent. There's a basic hardline core that you can't break through, okay? You can't break through. There's a hardline group you can't break through. You can't. It's sad. You can't. Look, I met Congressman Cummings. I really liked him a lot. Elijah Cummings of Maryland. I really liked him a lot. And during the conversation, because we have very strong mutual feelings on drug prices, he came to see me at my invitation because I saw him talking about, he came to see me to talk about because drug prices are ridiculous. And I'm going to get them way, way down.
He missed a way.
And he said, I'm going to get them way, way, way down. And he liked it. And he said, you'll be the greatest president. And he said, you'll be in front, you will be in front of like five or six people. You'll be one of the greatest presidents in the history of this country.
He disputed that slightly.
That's what he said. I mean, I can tell you.
Yeah.
There were six people sitting there. And what he did, and what do you mean by slightly?
Well, he said that he felt like you could be a great president if, and then.
Well, he said, you'll be the greatest president in history. But if you know what? I'll take that also, but that you could be. He said that. We'll be the greatest president. But I would also accept it the other. In other words, if you do the job, but I accept that. Then I watched him interview, and he was like, he never even was here. It's incredible. I watched him interview a week later, and it's like he was never even in my office. And you can even say that. I'm like, I feel like I'm going to get a stroke. Reading that.
One more section.
You want to go to page four and the Coke?
Yeah.
I believe it starts on page four.
Well, let's do it. I'll do it at the bottom of the page before.
Okay.
This is...
somebody with the concept of the 100-day plan?
Yep. And this is, of course, the 100 days of the presidency. So... you did put that out, though, as a candidate. You put out a 100-day plan. Do you feel like you should be held accountable to that plan?
Yeah. I mean, somebody put out the concept. Sorry. Yes.
Let me ask you a question again.
Yeah, just restate it. I'm sorry.
You did put out, though, as a candidate, you put out a 100-day plan. Do you feel like you should be held accountable to that plan?
Somebody put out the concept of a 100-day plan. But yeah, I'm mostly there in most terms. Go over the terms, and I'll talk to you.
The items.
But things change. There has to be flexibility. Let me give you an example. President Xi, we have, like, a really great relationship. For me to call him a currency manipulator, and then by the way, I'd like, I say, I'd like you to solve the North Korea problem. Doesn't work. So you have to have a certain flexibility, number one. Number two, from the time I took office, from now, it's a very exact thing. It's not like generalities. Do you want a Coke or anything?
I'm okay. Thank you. No.
But President Xi, from the time I took office, he's not been currency manipulators because there's a certain respect. I knew he would do something or whatever. But more importantly than being a currency manipulator, the bigger picture, the bigger than even currency manipulation, if he's helping North Korea with nuclear and all the things that we've got to do with it. Who would call what I'm going to do, say, by the way, could you help us with North Korea and you're a currency manipulator? It wouldn't work.
Oh, right.
And that's the media. Some of them get it, in all fairness. But, you know, some of them either don't get it, in which case they're very stupid people, or they just don't want to say, because a couple of them said, he didn't call them a currency manipulator. Well, for certain reasons. Number one, he's not, since you know a very specific formula.
Since my time.
Oh, sorry. Since my time, he's not, you know, very specific formula. You would think it's like generalities. It's not. They have. They're actually, their currency's gone up. So it's a very, very specific formula. And I said, how badly have they been? And he said, and they said, since you got into office, they have not manipulated their currency. That's number one. But much more important, they're working with us on North Korea. Now, maybe that'll work, or maybe it won't. Can you imagine?
I feel like just even attempting
to read it, I'm getting exhausted.
Like it's like you're like faltering. You're like you're you it's start impossible when, to read it and well, to get into done, the rhythm of that.
They've done studies that when you read, you actually part of what makes people sort of able to digest information quickly is you start to kind of fill in logical spaces in the text you're reading. So what you're doing. It's like okay, so naturally the transition would be I'm negotiating with them, but then you have to double check to be like, and then we had a steak, and wouldn't the bat be fantastic? Would you
all
like
right,
a Coke?
Let's go to the first. I want to try and read to him once, just to get into that mindset. So before ask me, do you feel like you've changed the office?
Do you feel like you've changed an office?
No, page two.
Oh, sorry, excuse me.
Middle.
Do you feel like you've changed in the office of the presidency? How can the presidency be used to effect change?
I think the 100 days is, you know, an artificial barrier. It's not very meaningful. I think I've established amazing relationships that will be used the 4 or 8 years, whatever period of time I'm here. I think for that, I would be getting very high marks because I've established great relationships with countries. As president, El-Sisi has shown and others have shown. Well, if you look at the president of China, people said they've never seen anything like what's going on right now. I really like them a lot.
That's true.
I think he liked me. We have a great chemistry together. I've developed great relationships with all these leaders. Nobody's written that. In fact, they said, oh, well, he's not treating them nicely because on NATO, I want them to pay up. But I still get along with them great. They will pay up. In fact, with the Italian prime minister yesterday, you saw we were joking. Come on, you have to pay up. You have to pay up. He'll pay. It's do the AP. It's actually fun.
Do you say that in your meetings, your private meetings?
He's going to end up paying. But you know, nobody ever asked the question. Nobody asked. Nobody ever asked him to pay up. So it's a different kind of presidency.
Do you feel like that's one thing that you've changed? That you maybe are actually asking direct questions about some of these things?
Yeah.
Let me give you an example. A little before I took office, there was a terrible article about a F-35 fighter jet. It was hundreds of billions of dollars over budget. It was 7 years behind schedule. It was a disaster. So I called in Lockheed and I said, I'm sorry, we're going to have to bid this out to another company, namely Boeing or whoever else. But Boeing, and I called in Boeing, and I started getting competitors' offers back and forth. I saved $725 million on the 90 planes. Just 90. Now there are 3,000 planes that are going to be ordered. On 90 planes, I saved $725 million. That's actually a little bit more than that, but it's $725 million. General Mattis, who had to sign the deal when it came to his office, said, I've never seen anything like this in my life. We went from a company that wanted more money for the planes to a company that cut. And the reason they cut, same plane, same everything, was because of me. I mean, because of what I do.
Isn't it exhausting?
It's exhausting. All right.
That's well, The Apprentice fired music, by the way.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's great. I also love the notion that I'm sure, of course, General Mattis, as we said, is a master manipulator. He knows how to manage Trump. But I mean, and maybe Mattis has gotten to his level of manipulation as a veteran military guy that he does actually talk like this, where he comes in and just like, I'd just like to say, Mr. President, tremendous, terrific. Never seen anything
Mr.
in my
President,
life.
You're blowing me away.
You're blowing me away in every shape. I mean, but not only blowing me away, I would say it was tremendous in a certain sense.
Mr. President, I dip my head as a sign of respect. You're blowing me. I wonder if he does come in and every just sort of.
I learned in Okinawa the art of the formal bow, Mr. President, which I'd like to extend to you. But I'd also like to say that you're doing not only a tremendous job, really a historical job, but also a great job. But you also haven't changed in a certain sense. And I'm finding it both fantastic and tremendous to witness, but also great.
It's both amazing to see how much you've learned on the job and how much you knew going into the job.
It's sort of extraordinary how fast you learn and what you already know. It actually makes my head spin.
Well, thank you.
It's great. Couldn't put it like that myself. You have a very interesting
cadence. Can I hold your gun?
I like how Michael started out with the appropriate amount of being completely out of breath, but then it was too exhausting to read and
to
also hyperventilate.
That's cool
because
you did it very well, but you didn't do the panting that
it's
interview. It's exhausting.
It's too much.
All right. Let me read a couple of things here that President Trump has actually accomplished in his first 100 days. And it is, I'm going to just go through these fairly quickly. The stories that were out the past couple of days. Like a slow death, families fear pesticide poisoning after Trump reverses ban. Story out of The Guardian a week or two ago. 40-year-old mother of five gestures toward citrus groves that surround her house in California's Central Valley. We know this is dangerous for the kids, but what are we supposed to do? Morales said she fears that the kinds of drifts, as well as long-term exposure to a variety of chemicals from the air, have hurt her children ages 9 to 20, who have struggled to focus in school and have suffered from bronchitis, asthma, and other illnesses. Under Barack Obama, the EPA proposed an agricultural ban on chlorpyrifos, one pesticide widely used in a region based on the growing body of research documenting the risks for farm workers and communities. There's a sense of helplessness, said Louis Median, 30-year-old dairy worker. I'm being poisoned and I can't do anything about it. It's like a slow death. More than a dozen Latino residents in Tulare County shared stories with The Guardian of direct pesticide poisoning from drifts and the long-term health challenges they believed are linked to chronic exposure. They described children vomiting, suffering from painful skin irritations, debilitating headaches, dizziness, as well as developing autism, learning problems, and attention deficit disorder. It has already been determined by investigators and researchers at Columbia and UC Berkeley that women exposed during pregnancy have children with lower IQs and memory problems, can raise the incidence of autism. The EPA's prior move to prohibit the pesticide in agriculture stemmed from a decade-long legal fight with environmental groups. Under the new policy, the EPA won't have to reevaluate health risks for the chemical for another 5 years, and its use will continue. So Trump has managed to reverse that ban.
Is that something that, I mean, I'm assuming that these companies will go back to applying it. But like, that seems like the type of move that there wasn't, and I could be wrong on this, but there wasn't even like some major clamoring for. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure some ag companies and manufacturers wanted to get it back into circulation because it's cheaper and they'll make some money.
Oh,
off
no,
of it.
They want it. I mean, they they want to run this out. I mean, right.
But is it just like the broader principle of not having anything be regulated, or is it specifically getting that one back into circulation?
Oh, no, I'm sure it's the former. Yeah. They don't want to set the precedent
right.
that in any way you will impinge upon corporations making money. It's Dow AgroSciences.
Right.
I think it's probably a twofer in that respect.
Right.
And, you know, these decisions are worth hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, each one. But each one also sets a precedent for the next one, which they don't want to follow. From Reuters. A Reuters investigation found at least four city zip codes where 40% of the children tested in 06 to 2014 had high lead levels. Buffalo is one of the most dangerous lead hotspots in America. Federal support has helped families in Buffalo and beyond this month. This is talking about a specific family in Buffalo. Her family moved into a gleaming lead-free apartment renovated by a local nonprofit with funding from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. This type of assistance may not last much longer. Trump is advocating deep federal budget cuts that would sap billions from programs used by state and local governments to protect children from the lifelong health impacts of lead exposure. Reuters is reporting has identified more than 3,300 areas with childhood lead poisoning rates at least double those found in Flint, Michigan. At least 8 of the 9 federal agencies sharing responsibility for lead poisoning prevention face potential budget cuts. Heaviest falls to HUD, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the Environmental Protection Agency. Trump's budget would cut at least $4.7 billion from programs at HUD and the EPA that support healthy housing and lead pollution cleanups. The Trump administration would eliminate $27 million that trains private contractors in lead removal, $21 million that funds lead abatement projects in Alaska, Illinois, Ohio, Oklahoma, and California. It would kill a program that funds a Rhode Island nonprofit to upgrade housing and end nearly a $1 billion affordable housing program that has fixed up dilapidated homes in hundreds of cities. We're dooming future generations, said Dr. Gail Bernstein. And instead of saving money, the cost of inaction could spiral, Bernstein said. Well, I mean, that seems obvious, right? I mean, we know the impact that lead has on children who end up growing up to be adults who aren't productive in society. But that really is obviously secondary to the fact of, like, you're just deciding to not prevent totally preventable human misery. So that he's been able to accomplish in the first 100 days. And then you look at things like consumer protections for prepaid card users. Right now, Congress is pushing a bill that would inhibit the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau's comprehensive rules regarding prepaid cards to basically prevent it from going into effect. It basically, the CFPB has issued rules which would bring these prepaid cards consistent with credit cards. So if you have unauthorized charges, they're limited to just $50. Financial institutions must investigate unauthorized or fraudulent charges. If fraud is found, the cardholder's funds must be restored. Cardholders get free and easy access to information. Free information has to be upfront and clear. I mean, basic sort of, you can't rip off these people.
I would never be able to start a university to follow these principles.
Exactly.
That doesn't make sense.
And the Republicans in Congress will probably crash that, and I can imagine that Donald Trump will sign.
And don't they use the same logic when they gut these regulations that they do for providing health care plans that don't actually provide health care? Sort of like, hey, man, like, you're infringing on people's freedom
right.
to
it's
get
gonna make it harder
defrauded
for...
by their credit card companies. Yes. Maybe they want that.
There may be companies that actually have to go out of business if they can't rip off their clients.
Right. Well, that's the you're hurting the small businessman.
There'll be less companies.
Did you ever watch The Sopranos? Did you see what happened when Tony's crew got squeezed on collecting protection?
Now,
is that what you want?
The thing to note about all of Trump's accomplishments, the main things that actually have taken place, is that they are all, and of course we know too, that despite the fact that you have head of Department of Homeland Security saying we're not targeting Dreamers, they're also not targeting Dreamers. Right? You see the difference there. They have blown away the notion of priorities in deporting people. And so the natural tendency when you don't have specific directive as who is top on the list is that those people who are making the decisions on the ground are going to say, I'm going to go for the low-hanging fruit, the easy people. So, I mean, if you look at what Donald Trump's accomplishments have been over the past 100 days, they are exclusively ones which hurt poor people first. I mean, that is basically it. Poor people or politically powerless people. People that people hate. And so it's been a wonderful 100 days, but I am sure that's going to sink into the average Trump voter's mind.
Not only that, then you're going to see a much broader backlash that'll lead to an election of someone like, at the worst case, Elizabeth Warren, who's a fake, not a genuine progressive, but is a certain improvement, certainly over my wife, who's an arch-criminal neoliberal. Or in the best case scenario, someone like Jill Stein, who's been a tireless advocate for peace.
Oh, that reminds me. That reminds me. I hope you have your audio drops ready.
She's the only candidate with a green
Bill McKibben. Bill McKibben writing in The Times. They had an interesting piece where Bill McKibben had the opening. Obviously, the founder of 350.org, or one of them, and longtime environmental climate change advocate, organized the arrest over Keystone XL in front of the White House 2-3 years ago.
Didn't he also write one of the first, like, kind of mainstream or general audience books on the climate crisis, like in the early 90s or late 80s
possibly.
Or something? Yeah.
So today we had one report that last week, the journal Nature published two studies about a week ago of a new continent-wide survey of the Antarctic. And it shows that surface meltwater drainage systems are much more prevalent around the continent than was previously thought. And it suggests that the ice sheets in the Antarctic are actually not as stable as we had anticipated. These ice sheets contain enough ice to raise global sea levels by nearly 200 feet if it were all to melt. Obviously, a partial melt would still be problematic. Researchers found nearly 700 drainage systems that formed during the summer melt season, some of which were found further inland into higher altitudes than researchers expected. These systems had been around for decades, and while some were stationary ponds, others were made up of streams that transported water for as far as 75 miles. It's huge, and it's been forming since 1973, and we didn't know about it. Here is just like a little bit of video of this. You can see this is like on the surface. And it's a problem. Just one of the many that are coming with global warming. But here's what Bill McKibben wrote in the Times. President Trump's environmental onslaught will have immediate dangerous effects. He's vowed to reopen coal mines, move to keep the dirtiest power plants open for many years into the future. Dirty air, the kind you get around coal-fired power plants, kills people. Real people, the poorest and most vulnerable, will be hurt in real time. But there's an extra dimension to the environmental damage. We only have a short window to deal with the climate crisis, or else forever lose the chance to thwart truly catastrophic heating. In Paris in 2015, the world's nations pledged to do all they could to hold the rise of the planet's temperature to 1.5 degrees Celsius. It was a good idea since, though we're still half a degree short of that number. We're already seeing disastrous ice melts at the poles, loss of coral reefs, the inexorable rise of oceans, but at current rates of burning coal, gas, and oil will put enough carbon in the atmosphere for the next 4 years to eventually push us past that temperature limit. The planet's hope coming out of those Paris talks would be that we would see such growth in renewable energy that we'd begin to close the gap between what physics demands and what our political systems have so far allowed in terms of action. But everything Mr. Trump is doing should slow that momentum. The effects will not be felt immediately, but over decades and centuries and millenniums. No president will be able to claw back this time, crucial time, since we're right now breaking the back of the climate system. However, maybe you feel this.
You know, I voted for the candidate who had a Green New Deal, so I feel proud of myself about that.
There you go. Just another one of Trump's accomplishments over the past 100 days. The assault on even the meager hope that we had. The good news is, though, is that Trump voters still feeling extremely optimistic. 96% say they would vote for him again. Only 2% said they would not vote for him again. Listen to some of these quotes here. Nothing's changed, said Rob Hughes, a registered Democrat and retired businessman from Bulger, Pennsylvania. Well, that's probably not entirely true. I think I like him more now that he's president. They're unfazed. A new health care law is not in place yet. They're thrilled with the appointment of Neil Gorsuch to the Supreme Court, which is really actually the only rational response. They're dismayed that House Republicans and Democrats are unwilling to compromise. Robert Hughes, 71, picked up his gun phone from the gun range. These are all people that the reporter on the New York Post has spoken to before the election. I could not be more optimistic about the future than I am right now. Honestly, I'm still on cloud nine that he won and is our president. Mary Ellen Estelle, 77. Very pleased with Donald Trump so far. I'm very concerned about the fragile state of the world right now, but that was not his doing. That has been decades in the making.
And when you read his interviews where he, as an example, outlines his approach to dealing with North Korea, I think it gives you a certain sense of like, okay, there's challenges, there's dangers, but here's someone who's clearly poised and ready to take
care
of things.
It's all in hand.
It's all in hand.
Megan and AJ Hammonds, they were split on who they were going to vote for. They're both 28 years old. One was going to vote for Trump. Megan was going to vote for Gary Johnson.
I don't like either of them.
Both had voted for Obama in the two previous presidential elections.
Oh, man.
Both were unsatisfied with his performance.
Right.
The final blow was the effect of Obamacare on their family. I don't know. It's not clear on what that is.
Yeah. But those two are different.
You'll recall, though, if you're age 28 today, before Barack Obama, before even 2014, you hadn't paid for your health insurance. You were on your parents' plan.
Maybe.
Turns out Megan decided to vote for Trump a couple of days before the election. About their decisions, neither could be happier. He's doing exactly what we wanted and expected him to do. Yes, there have been setbacks, but anyone intelligent would understand that was to be expected. He's not a politician. I had no expectation of him to be anything but non-conventional.
You know, that's not a word, but what I love about these people is that the only ways in which he has proven to be unconventional is by being like genuinely mentally ill and clearly unable to do this job. And all other ways, he's just George W. Bush on steroids.
Well, maybe a little bit less effective, although...
No, I'm talking just policy-wise, not talking efficacy.
Okay, so then you had Michelle Barnett. She didn't know what she was going to do. At the very last minute, I pulled the trigger for Trump. I just could not abide voting for those corrupt Clintons. So far, she hasn't regretted her decision. Up until the strike in Syria early this month, I was fine with how the president has been. Now I'll keep an eye on him. As long as that was not a sign of more interference in that country, I'm fine with that. But if he does start making this into the next Iraq, I'll be unhappy with him.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not.
No, that's someone who is gauging something.
Ridiculous.
At least they're citing
they're citing something that exists in the terrestrial world.
Dr. Joseph Chiaro and his wife Donna were very reluctant Trump supporters when I met them at breakfast at the beautifully restored Nagel Warren Mansion in Cheyenne, Wyoming last fall. Son of immigrants and a retired pediatrician who still works part-time in the industry, Chiaro was staunchly opposed to Clinton than he was for Trump. So with his wife. Much has changed since their initial reluctance. I am 100% pleased with his performance so far. Yes, he's made some mistakes, but they are so minor that they are insignificant.
Ah, totally. Just
the president has us heading in the right direction. I had my hesitations about him, but they quickly disappeared once they took he took office. Like, what could the hesitations have been?
I was concerned that when he came into office that he might have been like, I'm just kidding. I'm not really a mentally ill sexual harasser.
Honestly, like, what would it be like? I thought on day one he could get there and just go, I'm Hillary Clinton. Yeah.
People are just tied to those narratives. Like, I had this personal arc of coming to this. It's like, it's the same thing with Ben Carson. The content of their life isn't actually there to back these things up, but they like to say, I was this and then I became that.
Because
it
makes them feel like they're more open-minded.
Yeah.
Like, I really actually thought about this.
That's what it is.
And so I was dubious, but now that I've seen the facts...
I was very concerned that Donald Trump would turn out to be Hillary Clinton with a face mask. So now, imagine my relief.
Among those living in the Senate, we all know that his approval rating is somewhere between 35 and 42, maybe, depending on which poll you look at.
I've not seen above 42.
Among those living in the second ring of suburbs outside the cities or the exurbs in the third or fourth rings that make up the great swaths of rural America, the president gets job approval rating between 53 and 59%. And, of course, you know, you see that when it comes to Republicans, more broadly speaking. Here is just a story, and I'm not going to go through it too much, but this is about a town in Maine, Lewiston. You must be familiar.
My old stomping. Yeah, right. I lived there. That's where I went to Bates. Yeah.
Well, maybe you'll know about this story. Over the past 16 years, there have been 7,500 immigrants.
Mostly from Somalia.
Yeah. Who have come into this town. It was a once dying New England mill town. This guy, Richard Rodriguez, just starts off the story from AP. Smiled and waved at his daughter, proud that she's a part of it. It will help her in her life. The world is not all white. He believes that the refugees resuscitated this town, plugging the population drain. The opening shops, restaurants, and boarded up storefronts. But he also agrees with Donald Trump that there should be no more of them, at least not now. America is struggling and needs to take care of its own before it takes care of anyone else. There's just a deep-seated stupidity that's involved in this. I mean, I don't know how else to put it.
There isn't any other way to put it.
I mean,
so fear.
Well, there is another way. It could be racism. Although, you know, he seems to be excited that his child is actually, you know, sort of has a little broader experience than maybe he might have had in Maine. But here it is. I just don't like giving money away that's not benefiting me. And not to sound selfish, but then seeing it benefit other people. As a business owner, my husband wouldn't donate $500 to the Salvation Army if we couldn't afford it. Our country needs to do the same thing. This is a once Barack Obama supporter who turned to Trump.
Someone needs to look up the definition of selfish.
Well, A, someone needs to look up the definition of selfish. And B, someone needs to also look up the definition of investment. And then C, that someone should also stop voting for an extended period of time.
It doesn't matter. If he just... the world's just going to be destroyed. That's the track I'm on right now.
Well,
to the environment that are, there's a period of time and then it will be gone and then everything will be over. So all the morons will die. I'll be happy. I will also be dead.
The Hindus.
Well, then I have good news for you.
I have good news for you. The Hindus.
It's time for the fun half.
Oh, the Abiki Bar Hindus. Have a beautiful system of cosmology that says history is cyclical and we're about to enter the Kali Yuga and pretty much that's going to be it. I don't want to die alone. I'd like everybody to go with me. I think it's totally unfair that I would die and everyone else would be alive. And we could have a giant spiritual cleansing of all things on Earth. And that really is actually, to tell you the truth, my policy agenda.
In the fun half, we're going to talk about how in New Orleans they're tearing down Confederate monuments.
Oh, I have never been so furious. Mr. President, can I say nigger on TV once? No? Too much? How about when the ice pole melt? That's what I'm banking on when
Steve,
that's great.
Can he say nigger on television? Let him do it. Let him do it once.
Yeah, he can. And guess what? It's Jared's idea. I just fucked Jared in the ass. That little Jew cuck. So I said it was his idea. It was not my idea. I would never say you could say nigger on TV. You only say that in the privacy of your own car when you're flinching from a squeegee van. We're all going to die.
Folks, this program relies on your support. Without your support, none of this could be heard. Members make up, for a while, it was like saying 92% of our revenue. It's now shot up to like 98.7 since the YouTube Aclopocalypse.
What is happening?
But folks, honestly, if you do have the means to support this program, please do. Your support is desperately needed. And if you if you're someone who wants the fun half, because you want the fun half, but you don't have the financial means to do it, to become a member, just send us an email at majorityreporters@gmail.com. I'm way behind on my emails, but that is number one on my agenda as I travel to Vegas this week. We will have live shows from there Thursday and Friday, where I will be interviewing hopefully a bunch of trial lawyers on stuff ranging from Monsanto cases that are going on, and perhaps some money laundering, international money laundering, and who knows? I mean, I run into a bunch of different people. That's basically the way it works, and I attempt to
get along with all of them and not get in zero fights with anyone whilst you are on your trip.
Who would I get in fight with anybody?
We've already discussed this.
Oh, I don't know who that is, but... well, I will definitely do my
Don't
best.
Start none, won't be one. Hello?
All right, folks. Also, justcoffee.coop. You have now 6 days left to get your coffee at a 30% discount with free shipping. Justcoffee.coop. You can get the Majority Report blend. You can get any other type of coffee there. Do not blow this opportunity, folks. 30% off. It only comes around once a year. In the month of April, you have 5 days left, 6 days left, however many days left are in April. And that's it. And then it just goes away. Free shipping, 30% off. This is cheaper than the coffee you buy around the corner, and it's better. And it's all fair trade. Try it once. You will not regret it. This is the time to try it. Also, if you buy your crap from Amazon, buy it through our link at majorityreportkickback.com. If you buy your crap from jet.com, buy it through our link at majorityreportkickback.com. Just click on that link, bookmark it, and you're all set. All right, take a quick break and into the fun after.